G'day, Sportsby fans. It's Fry here, and I'm giving you a treat today. This podcast usually gets dropped on my Patreon feed, doing a rookie stock take every Tuesday arvo slash evening, but I'm going to release it to the wild. I'm giving it to every fantasy coach out there and putting it on my main platform, but only for this week. So if you aren't a Patreon subscriber as well already, you can head to the Fantasy Sports by Fry page to join and become a subscriber. We got waiver wire pickups. We've got reserves notes. I've got the rookie tiers that I adjust every week. I've got your rookie roulette covered for Friday for which blokes you should have on your field as well. So plenty of information out there for fantasy coaches. If you are already a podcast subscriber, a Patreon subscriber, I do appreciate the support. Actually, I appreciate all of you if you're a podcast subscriber as well. So like I said, bonus episode for you today. Enjoy. G'day, fantasy sports fans. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I am back with two rounds of the fantasy season in the books for another rookie stock take pod. A lot of coaches out there are off to a flyout. There's some, like myself, who have moves to make. But a lot of the rookies and the cash cows that we talked about throughout the entire preseason are delivering the goods. As it stands right now, there is 11 players who have a negative break even rolling into round three. And last week, we were treated to the first 100-point score from a cash cow as well. So plenty to discuss on this episode. Let's get amongst it. Rolling back to Thursday night where the Saints took on the Pies. There are a couple of players here that coaches would have had likely on their field. The most popular of the bunch being Darcy Wilson. Didn't really get off to a flyer. I remember checking his stats at halftime and being quite underwhelmed, but a 33-point third quarter definitely saved him. I think with the injuries to Mason Wood and Liam Henry as well, might free up a couple of extra touches for good old Darce. I think he was my third rookie that I ranked in the forward line off the top of my head rolling into this season. Had a ripper 90 as we saw in the preseason. Seems like more of an outside type and he might need a couple of goals to weekly push the 60-point mark, but a break even of four, I think he's probably capable of pushing his average closer to 70 rather than the 60 it's hovering at the moment. He's got the Bombers this week, which isn't a great on-paper matchup, but I'll be fielding him. He did only play 67% of the game against the Magpies as well, for what it's worth. So I still think that Darcy Wilson, arguably the best forward cash cow that we've got going around. Another forward cash cow in this game who was donning the sub vest for the second week in a row is Finlay McRae. I really want to see him get a consistent full quarter game, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And I'll be honest, if I'm running the Magpies, there's no urgency to try and shuffle the magnets and throw Finlay McRae into the mix. He obviously came on as the sub, scored 18 in essentially the last quarter, and it would take Collingwood kind of freeing him and releasing the shackles for him to be relevant. But if that happens, you know, in like round 10 or something, then maybe Finn McRae is someone that we can still view as a relevant fantasy cash cow. Obviously, because of his two sub starts, he has dipped a little bit in price. He's lost about 20 grand from his starting price, now priced at $287,000. Break even to 49 as well. He's got Brisbane this week. I can't see him getting a full gig there, but hopefully he can dip a little bit. And then obviously we can use Finn McRae as a future downgrade target. Technically, Reef McInnes was a cash cow in this game as well. 308K he cost you. So nah, I don't think you go that way. Should hold his spot though. Looked decent for the Magpies, but I don't think he's fantasy relevant at the moment. Friday night saw the Crows clash with Geelong, and there were plenty of relevant rookies in this game. From the Adelaide side, one bloke who I haven't given a lot of shine to this preseason, and I think he's going to be closer to his first round score rather than what he produced on the weekend. But Chris Burgess, due to being basement price, has vaulted up the pecking order a bit this week. He is one of the players with a negative break even at the moment. Didn't have massive percent of time on ground. I was surprised to see that he was able to churn out 68 points despite playing 68% of the game against Geelong. So there's a little bit of meat on the bone if you want to try and make a play for Burgo. 247K is what he'll cost you now. Got matchups with the Dockers, D's, Blues, and then Essendon in the next month. So hopefully he can hold his spot for the 25% of coaches who invested in him. Like I said, though, I know it was piercing down with rain in the first game he played in, but I think he's probably going to be closer to the 50-point mark rather than 70 like he produced on the weekend. But perhaps he can be a serviceable cash cow. We know that there's an abundance of rookies in the forward line, so he's not really on my radar. Looking at the Geelong side, there's a lot to talk about with these rookies, with all three of the popular cash cows avoiding the vest, and they scored fine last week, to be honest. So let's start with Jai Clark. He was some people's rage trade after round one. I personally jumped off and went to Jeremy Sharp, but we need to remember the kid is only three games into his career. So I can understand why Chris Scott is only playing him low time on ground, and he might have a fantasy average around the 50 mark this year. That seems like the most likely scenario. He's going to build into his career. He's had a lot of injury issues since he came to Geelong. From memory, he was banged up in his final junior season as well. So there's nothing wrong with keeping Clark as your M9, M10. I don't think you really need to jump off and abort, but if you've got nothing to do at the trade table, you might want to consider shuffling some magnets and seeing if you can get a bit more fruitful scorer rather than Jai Clark. But he is not super disappointing. Neither is Ollie Dempsey. Had his 90 plus in round one and then came out with a pretty decent score against the Crows, considering I class them as a harder matchup. Only scored 53, which some people who jumped on him might have been a bit disappointed by, but didn't kick as many goals, didn't take as many marks. So I think that he's probably closer to the 90 than he was the 50. I think an average around the 70 point mark is possible for Dempsey. Had a pretty balanced game as well, and he does tend to fill up the stat sheet in a lot of capacities. Laid two tackles in both his game, racked up 16 touches against the Crows as well, for what it's worth. So he's someone that I still view as a solid trade target, and hopefully he can push the 65-point score or better against Hawthorn on Easter Monday. My most observed rookie last round, and someone that I've had my eyes glued on for the time that he has played limited for Geelong, is Sean Manner. He was my starting utility this season. The mature ager from Werribee, obviously a lot of coaches know about his history. Mid-forward, he was able to finally get a full run against the Crows, and as a result, produced a pretty decent score. He did have 45 in the end, but 27 of those points came in the first quarter from memory. So got off to a flyer and then slowed down a bit. Did not play a ton of the game either. His time on ground was less than 70. And there are still a couple of tiny flags around his role and game time for the Cats. It's probably not a must have at this moment, but I do think that if Geelong, being a 26-year-old, maybe they trust him and his body a bit more around stoppages over the next month plus. If you need a forward rookie or a midfield rookie to downgrade to, he's probably my pick of the bunch. Given the fact that his break-even is 10, he's priced at 217 because obviously he only had a sub-affected score in round one against the Saints. If he can get that free run from the Cats, which is no guarantee, then I think he might even be a field-worthy player. So I'll be watching him very intently again against the Hawks when they clash at Easter. Technically, I need to mention Oisin Mullen as well. Not exactly a fantasy factor, and I'm concerned about his place in the Cats side more than any of the other rookies I've mentioned. With their next game coming on Monday, trading for him this week is a little bit risky. We won't have their final teams until probably Saturday arvo off the dome. And as a result, I think that we can wait a little bit on Mullen. There'll be some coaches that will need a defensive downgrade and Mullen might appeal, but I don't think we really need to rush by trading an injured Zach Reed or a Nick Caulfield to someone like Mullen, who may not make us a ton of money at all. Saturday morning, we got the Dockers clashing with North Melbourne. A couple of other relevant players from Fremantle's side first. Debutant in Josh Draper. He looked like a key back, so don't go there. Similar to what I said with Mullen, he's not going to be the great source of cash generation, so you can avoid him. But Jeremy Sharp had another 70-plus score, continued his strong start to the season for Freo, and he should be good for another 60-ish against the Crows this week. I am a little bit concerned. It is a good Friday game at home, so hopefully he can run amok on the Optus Stadium wing. But I think I'll try and loop Jeremy Sharp onto my field if he goes well and have the emergency on him, because, you know, like I said, he started the season well. I was at the Brizzy game when he was running around getting his 79, had a 73 on the weekend against North Melbourne. If he's able to kind of get a lot of those open marks, he had 8 in both games so far, then he can push 60 again, no worries. But I feel like Adelaide are going to be a bit more restrictive, call me crazy. So I still think he's the fourth midfielder in the pecking order behind McKercher, Sanders, and Matty Roberts, although he can be a starting option if you need him to be. Turning my attention to the Roos side, there's a lot to talk about here, so I'll whiz through most of them pretty quickly. Colby McKercher, gun. Let's not waste your time. Xavier Dersma plays for the Bombers. His younger brother, Zane, he actually impressed me. I ranked him ahead of guys like Caleb Windsor and Ollie Dempsey before the season started in my rookie ranks. He had 11 marks and didn't kick a goal for this score, which is quite gives me a bit of optimism about his potential moving forward. Now averaging 68 on the season, he finished with a score of 85 against the Dockers. He does have Carlton this week, which might not be as fantasy friendly, but he's the type of forward that I think if you've got him in your team, he's fine and you can keep him, but I don't know if you want to be trading for him despite the mid-forward status and a very, very low break-even rolling into this round of negative one. Looking at a couple of other roos, we're talking Toby Pink. He's similar vein to Ocean Mullen. Actually, probably have Pinky as the best defensive downgrade target this week. He's going to get 40s and 30s, and as a result, I'm not super bullish on him, and I don't think that I'll be bringing him into my team, but you know, he got a couple of points against the Dockers. Seems like Frio's leaking points at the moment for what it's worth. So I think similar with what I said about Dersma, there will be a bit more of a cap on Pink's scoring output moving forward. And let's address Charlie Lazaro. He's the big one out of this game. A real bummer being subbed out at three-quarter time. Effectively, Jai Simpkin came in and stole his CBA numbers. We saw a slight uptick for Tom Powell and George Wardlaw as well. So it signals to me that Lazaro might be a bit further down the depth chart than fantasy coaches would like. And I honestly don't hate the idea of giving him the flick pretty soon, given the abundance of forward options we have. Now, he does have a break-even of 19, which is hardly a death sentence. And he has scored around the 50 mark in both games, including last week in very limited game time comparatively. So looking at their schedule, they've got some pretty tough matchups, in my opinion, with the Blues, Brizzy, Geelong, and then Hawthorn over the next month. You could give Lazaro the flick if he is subbed off again, or worse, starts as a sub for the Roos, in my opinion. I think, like I said, there's a lot of other forwards you could pick from, so you don't have to get stuck with Lazaro in your team, but hardly a must trade. He's now at 324K, break even at 19. Hopefully he can tick his price up another 15 to 20K next week after a clash with the Blues. The Hawks and Ds were the next game. From the Hawthorn standpoint, Nick Wizard Watson peppered the goals with four shots, managed to get his way to 56. He's now averaging 44 for the season, which I think a bit similar to Jai Clark. Very different role, obviously, but I don't think he's going to be a fantasy target moving forward. Near 20% ownership actually surprises me. But on the Ds side, there are a couple of rookies that I want to discuss. The first one is Caleb Windsor. Continues to produce, is trending perfectly to be cut in his round six bye in about 3 weeks' time. I still have more confidence in his scoring than I probably should. I had him listed as my second player on the rookie roulettes that drops Friday on Patreon, of course. But with the potential sub risk, I was scared off, so I ended up moving him a bit further down the pecking order. I would not be surprised if he came out and got another 60-plus this week. He is that outside type, similar a bit to Darcy Wilson, and he does have a game with Port Adelaide in Adelaide. So we might see him repeat his scoring efforts from round one and get closer to the 45 mark rather than 60. But like I said, for whatever reason, I can't quit Caleb Windsor at the moment. I think he's going to be a great footballer for years to come for the Ds. At the opposite end of the ground, we've got a couple of Ds defenders who are still very relevant. And I have to talk about Blake Howes first, because he continues to wow. He's moved up the depth chart and is probably the only defender rookie that I feel safe on my field at the moment. Those who have a Nick Caulfield type could slot Blake Howes at D6, and you can probably play him for a couple of weeks. It's something that I'll do given the other issues that I've got with my fantasy team. And I think it's a pattern that we can hope will continue. Like I said, he wowed on the weekend, had a nice score of 78, and obviously we've seen promising scores from him as well in round one and round zero. So he's taken 20 marks in his three games so far, playing pretty decent time on ground as well. The injuries to Jake Lever and Stephen May, I don't think Lever's going to miss or hasn't been ruled out yet, but Stephen May is going to miss a week at least. So that might free up Blake to get a couple more marks and hopefully be a bit more fantasy fruitful, because he will start at D6 for me this week. His defensive partner in crime, though, Marty Hoare, he's probably the real one that benefits from these injuries. He was tabbed with the vest to start this game against the Hawks, managed 33 points in half a game, so suggests that he's a 60-point type of scorer. And I think of the other cash cows out there, he is a little bit inflated following a couple of early games, but Marty Hoare isn't a terrible trade-in target if you desperately need some help down back. The vest is obviously a concern. He only played 42% of the game against Hawthorn, and before his bye in round six, he does have matchups with both Adelaide sides and then Brisbane. So not ideal, and he's probably going to stall a little bit after this sub-affected game. Break even to 31, though. Let's hope he can come out against the Port Power and at least top the 50-point mark. The Swans and Bombers was the Saturday night game. Nothing relevant on the Essendon side, and on the Sydney side, it was quite the opposite. Matt Roberts continues to be the star of the show from a rookie cash cow standpoint. He's the only rook in this game or on Saturday night. And boy, oh boy, did he deliver. I moved him right to the top of the rookie power rankings at the moment. And there's a lot of his owners, myself included, who are shuffling a couple of magnets to bring him onto the field. So the move to the halfback line has really seen Roberts flourish from a statistical standpoint. He's now got 3 scores on the season and his lowest one is 68. 2 of them are 80 plus scores with obviously a 91 coming in round one. So great to see him filling up the stat line from all aspects, getting a lot of kicks, quite a handful of marks and not afraid to lay a couple of tackles as well. So he clashes with the Tigers this week and then West Coast before his bye. I think Matty Roberts, if for some obscure reason you don't have him, he's the must-have player in the competition thanks to his potential cash generation. Bulldogs and Suns kicked off the Sunday action and finally we got to see a full Riley Beveridge game with the stats that count. Obviously, we saw him run amok against Hawthorn in the Pracky games and the preseason hit out. And then he was subbed, unfortunately, in round one. But I think we can see him average somewhere around the 70-point mark as long as Bevo continues to play him. Had a sprinkling of CBAs throughout the game as well, but he really produces no matter the position that I think he lines up in. So Sanders is a gun. Keep him on your fields. His teammate, Harvey Gallagher, is an interesting forward rookie. Scored exactly 2 56s. And speaking of sprinkling of CBAs, he had a couple in the third and 1 CBA in the first quarter. So a negative break even, a matchup with West Coast. There is a lot of, there's a blueprint there for him to continue to be a positive cash cow. Like I said, he scored back-to-back 56s. There's about 15% of coaches that have him at the moment. And if you need a forward that maybe is a little bit lesser owned, I don't hate the money play and targeting someone like Gallagher at the moment. 266 is what he'll set you back. I do wonder how he fits into the puzzle with Jack McRae poised to return. If he doesn't come back in, there'll be a fucking riot in Footscray. So surely McRae's back in the mix. But there's a couple of guys pushing for a spot from the twos as well. Riley Garcia? I'm pretty sure that's his name. Let me fact check that. But I'll digress. I think that Harvey Gallagher still is a solid pick. Just wouldn't be surprised if we saw him rocking a sub vest in the near future as well. Yeah, Riley Garcia from the Doggies. We've obviously got Lockie McNeil pushing for that small forward, push up the ground a bit higher role. So job security might be a slight concern, but if he's picked, Harvey Gallagher is another great money maker. From the Gold Coast standpoint, a couple of rookies, but not really fantasy relevant. Bodie Yulin's doing a similar thing to last year. He'll slowly move upwards with a couple of 50s and 40s, and Dinner Hardwick seems to rate him for what it's worth. So if you're a Yuland owner and he's on the buy this week, given the lack of defensive downgrade targets, I don't think you need to look at moving him on. And Jed Walter, cool to see him make his debut, but he didn't get belted. Obviously, it was a pretty rough game for the Suns. Didn't have a lot of touches, didn't have a lot of impact though, but he was a debutant. He is a colossus of a prospect. So I do think that he's going to be a fantastic footballer for the Gold Coast Suns, but it's a no from fantasy purposes. Only a couple of games to go. The Tigers and Power were the one that clashed on Saturday, arvo. Nothing from Port Adelaide worth talking about in a cash cow standpoint. But Seth Campbell, he was the one in this game that continued his solid cash generation. Maybe I was being a hater early on in the season because I watched him quite actively in this matchup and his follow-up work was promising. I can't see Adam Uzay moving him or suggesting that he plays someone else over him. It's probably the best game that Seth Campbell's played yet. Translated to a pretty decent score as well. I don't think you can go out and plug him onto your field. Like I said multiple times already this pod, we've got a lot of forwards that we can pick from. And Campbell already is up to 313K. So probably too late to jump on the train. But if you're an owner, because there ended up being nearly 20% of coaches that started the season with him, you'd be pretty happy with the way that he's going. I don't advise fielding him unless it's these best of 18 rounds and you desperately need him. But like I said, solid cash generation available on the bench. And the last game of the round saw West Coast take on GWS, a bit of a bloodbath for the Giants. And we were treated to a Harvey Thomas spectacle. This is a kid who I pumped up a fair few times throughout the preseason. I was really disappointed to watch him get an 18 against Collingwood and then 35 against North. I thought that he'd be much more active. And that was evident on Sunday afternoon against West Coast. Not only did he have 21 touches, but he laid 8 tackles, which is probably the thing that encouraged me the most. Had 3 shots on goal as well. A couple of marks mixed in there. I don't think this is the right week to trade for him. You can, if you really want to. Like I said, I watched him in the Pracky game earlier this preseason against Sydney, and he played this type of game. He was pushing up the ground, laying tackles. He wasn't just buried inside 50 as a pressure forward. So Harvey Thomas will be a popular trade target this week, but given his bye, there'll probably be some people who are waiting to next week to pounce on him. So I think that this time next week, Harvey Thomas will be the most traded in player, which is no shocker after his 100-point performance. Aaron Cadman was pretty solid as well, doing his thing as a slow burn key forward. I'm praying that he can secure ruck status in round 7 when the DPPs drop, because I know he didn't start too many CBAs and have a lot of ruck contests in that regard, but he's managing a few hitouts every now and then. He's kicked multiple goals in every game so far this year as well. So scores to date of 47, 56, and then 68 gives him an average of 57, which would be great if he can continue to average near 60 for the rest of the year. And I think there'll be a lot of coaches who have him that are just hoping he can be continue his cash in as a slow burn forward option. From the West Coast standpoint, someone who needed a VC loophole option would have been happy with it. But it was nice to see Harry Barnett out playing for the Coasters. He was obviously rated as the best ruck rookie in his draft class. And I think that he's going to be the bloke who will start for West Coast, unless they make a big play at Tim English, over the next couple of seasons. Only went up 4K and was subbed out of the game. So 43% time on ground is all that he managed. But like I said, he was able to move in a positive direction. And if West Coast keep playing him, it'll be small, but he should still be able to generate a little bit of cash and a little bit of growth. Break even now of 20 rolling into a matchup with the aforementioned Tim English could be an absolute fucking bloodbath if they don't bring in another second fiddle. The most talked about rookie and the most popular player in the game, I kind of intentionally left him to last, but I want to talk about Harley Reid, who has had some visual highlights, some line-breaking traditional Harley Reid bursts. I think that from a West Coast standpoint, they'd be very excited to have him in the mix. But he hasn't exactly fired from a fantasy standpoint. And the poor kid has lost the first two games of his career by a combined 115 points. Granted, I do think that Port Adelaide and what are their names? GWS Giants are like top four contending sides. So you're not going to play a top four side every week. And the fixture does loosen up a little bit for West Coast here. We've got the Bulldogs, obviously, in Melbourne this week. And then they take on Sydney and Adelaide for Gather Round. Then they get a couple of games at home against Richmond and Freo before Gold Coast and Essendon. So that next six-week block, I think we'll be able to see Harley Reid produce a little bit better than what he has done so far. It's worth pointing as well that highlighting as well that his second halves haven't been great. So he had a pretty solid third quarter, kind of went missing in the fourth and spent a chunk of time on the bench. But his second half so far this year have been 22 points and 23 points. So if he was able to get that, you know, an extra mark kick a quarter or maybe an extra 10 points a quarter, I think that Harley would be closer to this 70-point player that we really expected him to be. It is worth highlighting that, you know, West Coast are going to get pumped. He is, there's a lot of weight on his shoulders as well, not just from fans, but from the fantasy community. A lot of people tapping him to be the savior. So Simo did state they want to keep using him in the midfield. And even if his time on ground stays at the 72% mark that it has been at both games, I think Harley Reid will be all right. You can't pull the trigger on him yet, but a break even of 18, maybe in 3 or 4 weeks' time, if he has kind of reached his plateau and he's stopped making us money, then we can look at ditching Harley. But let's hope before then he comes out with an 80-point game and can really give West Coast fans something to cheer about. So that's a recap of all the games from round 2. Let's talk trade targets. And any other week, I'd probably put Sean Manor at the top of the pile, but there's a little bit to unpack here. So the Monday game that they play against Hawthorn on Easter Monday, there's obviously going to be uncertainty around him wearing the vest. If you want a cash generation guy, there are other rookies out there, obviously, with lower break evens, but there's probably not as many who are as cheap as Sean Manor. So I do like the idea of making a play for him, but I think at the top of the pile, I have to put him here once, and I promise I won't talk about him weekly, but Ari Schoenmaker is getting a lot of love from the fantasy community. He scored 137 on the weekend for Sandringham. He had 33 touches and 13 marks, but I'm pretty sure it was on the Gettable podcast with Cal Toomey and Riley Beveridge. It was some point over the last couple of weeks. They were talking about Ari and how he's still so, so raw as an AFL player. We've seen him score well and his stats up, but when he got to the Saints, they still had to teach him, you know, basic concepts and team structure and a couple of bits and pieces. He was obviously suspended last year for buying underage kids some booze when he turned 18 as well. So missed out on a couple of games for the Tassie Devils in the NAB Cup. But I think from a fantasy scoring standpoint, this bloke is easily the best defensive rookie that we have on offer. I also think, though, because his numbers look good, he's getting a lot of hype and a lot of buzz in the fantasy community, but Ross Lyon will probably let him develop in the VFL for a couple of other weeks before he sees senior action. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he plays ASAP, and a couple of injuries that I mentioned that might benefit Darcy Wilson, maybe that'll create a hole for Ari Schoenmaker to make his debut as well. So that's my two cents on Ari. And if he is named on Thursday night, he will be my number one trade target for the week. But I don't expect that to happen. So as a result, tied for second place for a downgrade option. At the moment, I think you can go for someone like Sean Manor or even a Harvey Thomas. We all have the idea of getting him next week, but who knows what will happen throughout the fantasy season. Obviously, we might get injuries dealt to us, and as a result, you can't pounce on him like you're planning. So if you can get him now, even though he's on the bye, he has a negative 23 break even, and it's a move that I'm looking at, putting him into my midfield, so it gives me a mid-forward flexibility. So Harvey Thomas is up there, as is Sean Manor, despite a little bit of uncertainty around his role. Harvey Gallagher too fits that mold for, even though there is a tiny concern about role and job security, I think that he should be safe 50 to 60 point scorer for the next couple of weeks as well. Slightly richer, you could maybe go for someone like Marty Hall down back, Jeremy Sharp in the midfield, or Oliver Dempsey in the forward line. I'm assuming that everyone listening to this has Blake Howes, Colby McKercher, Riley Sanders, Matty Roberts, Darcy Wilson, Caleb Windsor, all the mainstream rookies. But if you missed any of those group or the three blokes I just mentioned in Hall, Sharp and Dempsey, I think this is really the last week that you can make the most of those missed cash cows, because a lot of them still have a negative break even, which means that they have about 100 to 150K room to grow in them. But paying up, you know, north of $400,000 for them next week isn't exactly a great move. So try and patch these holes this week. And if you had to, obviously get one of those names that I haven't mentioned yet, there's still time, right? We're only 2 weeks into the season. There's a lot of coaches out there that'll be shuffling the dead weight that they have. Maybe you've got Zach Reed still lingering, and you can facilitate a move by grabbing Blake Howes or Marty Hall or whatever it is. I won't waffle on too much longer, but if you are considering trading for some of these rookies this week, don't be daunted by the fact that their price tag now has a 3 in front of it, because if you don't do it this week, it'll probably have a 4 in front of it, or maybe even a fucking 5. So that's it. That's the wrap for all the rookie information from round 2 rolling into round 3. I will be back with J-Lo later tonight, podcast that I'm going to release on the mainstream platform, talking more holistically fantasy bits and pieces. The rookie roulette will drop on Friday as well once we get the finalized team. So you can make sure you check back in on that to figure out which rookies you should play on your field. Hopefully the large fries and Coke can benefit from having a lot of these rookies in their side, and I can use the cash generation from them to facilitate future upgrades, because I tell you what, it has been a slow start, and guys like Nick Caulfield, Connor Butterick, Jai Newcomb, a dud Hayden Young, a not great Zach Fisher. There's a lot of things that I need to fix. So I'm going to need some cash to turn those blokes into relevant fantasy players in the near future. As always, I appreciate you listening to this episode, though, and I'll catch you next time.